Welcome back to Juicy J's podcast. Today we're going to be talking about foreign affairs. To start off this podcast, let's talk about what the Foreign Affairs Committee is.
The Foreign Affairs Committee is a standing committee in the House of Representatives of the United States, and it deals mainly with other and international relations and what we should do with those.
That's very interesting. Do we have any examples about how the Foreign Affairs Committee deals with other countries?
Yep. So, whenever the Foreign Affairs Committee talks to another country or has communication with, say, for instance, like North Korea, Russia, or China, that's when the Foreign Affairs Committee will take part.
It also takes part in things like funding, because it needs to like decide where the U.S.'s money is going outside of just this country.
It's a very interesting point, guys. I noticed we're talking about the big three countries that are usually in the news when we're talking about foreign affairs: China, Russia, and North Korea. Do we have, are we able to answer why these countries are the most talked about when it comes to foreign affairs?
These are commonly the most talked about countries because they pose the biggest threat, such as North Korea with their growing nuclear weapons arsenal. Their capabilities of attacking the United States are growing, and it needs to be addressed, and the Foreign Affairs Committee is the best way of addressing that problem.
Do you have any more historical facts about this committee?
The committee originated on November 29th, 1775, and Benjamin Franklin was the chairman of this committee. They have influenced decisions such as the Marshall Plan across history, and in 1985, the Foreign Affairs Committee and the Budget Committee formed to make the Anti-Apartheid Act, which dealt with South Africa and racism in South Africa, with the whites ruling over the native Africans.
Do you have any other facts to add?
So the House Committee on Foreign Affairs has many different names throughout history. So some of them are like the Committee of Correspondence, Committee of Secret Correspondence, similar things to that, but they've changed throughout the years. And there are six subcommittees currently set up within the full committee. And as recently updated, there are a total of 44 members. 25 of them are Republican and 19 are Democrat. And Edward Royce has been the chairman of the committee since 2013. But there are also two other chairmen, or the chairman of the subcommittees of terrorism and non-proliferation and trade in Asia.
So going off the committees, there are many different committees which divide up the world into specific regions, and each subcommittee has a jurisdiction over that region. The subcommittees are Africa, Global Health, Global Human Rights and International Organizations, Asia, the Pacific and Non-Proliferation, Europe, Eurasia, Energy and the Environment, Middle East, North Africa and International Terrorism, Oversight and Investigations, and the Western Hemisphere Civilian Security and Trade. One of the more important subcommittees is the Middle East, North Africa and International Terrorism, especially following the 9/11 attacks in 2001, the subcommittee of the Middle East, North Africa, and international terrorism has had to create a lot of legislation referencing the safety of the United States from terrorism.
Moving on, let's talk about the recent government shutdown.
A government shuts down when a budget cannot be met, and the government run on continuing resolutions, and all federal agencies discontinue all non-essential discretionary functions during a shutdown of the government.
Alrighty, so adding on to the government shutdown, so the reason why the government shut down most recently was because President Trump did not have the funding that he wanted for the border wall. And this was because he wanted $5 billion for the border wall and border security, where the Democrats in the House and Senate were not willing to meet that. So as a result of this, he shut down the government, and this caused many government employees to be out of work. Now they will have their pay compensated once as the government returns back to its normal function, but currently it is not being met. So, Trump will...
Thanks for the input. What are some of the effects of the government shutdown?
So, some of the effects on the government shutdown on foreign policy is that without the budget, without the funds, the Department of Homeland Security, one of the most important security, like one of the most important departments for Homeland Security, failed to receive the funding it needed. And under that department, the agencies such as the Coast Guard, the Transportation Administration, Border Patrol, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, their employees, 32,000 employees, were barred from working, and many of the jobs, such as management and emergency training, were not filled because of the shutdown. One of the worrying aspects of Homeland Security was that without the funding, our safety and cybersecurity was very weak. We were very prone to attacks due to the fact that the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency was lacking its employees and funding it needed.
What are some of the more important bills?
One of the most important bills that's going through right now is the CSER Syria Civilian Protection Act of 2019. And this was first introduced by the chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, Elliot Engel. And a lot of what this says is that it will impose sanctions after the 180 days after the act, and if they knowingly provide significant financial, material, or technological support to the government of Syria or a senior political figure in Syria, then some sanctions will be imposed due to this. And it has currently gone through the House. And this occurred on January 22nd, 2019, and it's currently pending on when the Senate will review it. And the current prognosis of the bill being enacted is that it has an 82% chance of going through the Senate, although it may have iterations and other things added to it to make it more beneficial to the Senate, in which this would have to form a conference committee.
Another one of the important Foreign Affairs Committee bills is the H.R. 676 NATO Support Act. The summary of this act basically is that the bill would prevent President Trump from being able to withdraw the United States from the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. The legislation was passed by the House in response to President Trump saying he wanted to withdraw from the organization, or NATO. NATO is a political and military alliance between North American and European countries. It is made up of 29 nations, including the United States, Canada, France, and Germany.
Are there any other important bills?
Yes. H.R. 192, the Trans-Sahara Counterterrorism Partnership Act. It establishes an interagency program to assist countries in North and West Africa to improve immediate and long-term capabilities to counter terrorist threats and for other purposes. And Michael McCaul sponsored this, and it passed the House on January 10th of 2019. And according to Scopus Labs, it has a 50% chance of being enacted.
The recent passage of the separate free trade agreements with Colombia, Panama, and South Korea have set in motion the creation of thousands of jobs and major expansion with U.S. exports and economic growth in the U.S. The committee chairman, Ross Lethine, and other committee members successfully urged the administration to send the agreements to Congress and held numerous committee hearings on the topic.
88% of all DHS employees who remain on the job are part of about 420,000 federal workers, also forced to perform their duties at agencies for whom no budget or stopgap measure has been approved.
To To sum it all up, the House Committee on Foreign Affairs, chaired by Republican Ed Royce of California, considers legislation that impacts the diplomatic community, which includes the Department of State, the Agency for International Development, the Peace Corps, the United Nations, and the enforcement of the arms export control. Please excuse us for a commercial break.
This podcast is sponsored by the National Bourbon Caucus. Our sponsor advocates for the separation of distilled bourbon and Kentucky. 95% of all bourbon is distilled in Kentucky, and this caucus would like there to be no monopoly in the bourbon industry. They also provide all drinks that our guests, as well as the hosts, have. Thank you.
Moving on to the second half of our podcast, we have a couple guests here.
Representative Scott Perry.
Representative Brad Sherman.
Bob Mendez.
Michael McCall.
Thank you for being here, all of you. Today we're going to be discussing some of the foreign affairs that go on with our country. I'm going to start by asking all of you a question. Feel free to discuss among yourselves and voice your opinions. What are some of the biggest issues regarding foreign relations or affairs that we currently deal with today?
One of the biggest issues is the nuclear weaponization in North Korea. And my belief is the problem with it is that Trump is not being detailed enough with Kim Jong-un, and he's praising him and helping him out like he's an old friend rather than trying to discipline him and actually help our country.
Does anyone else have anything to add?
Yes, I agree with him, but I also feel that Trump is doing a good job negotiating with him, applying tariffs, and ensuring that our country will be safe. There's a lot of things that's wrong with the deal, but I feel that Trump is doing a good job controlling it.
Very interesting. Does anyone else have anything to add? It seems that both of these ideas are quite similar, but I would like to hear another point of view upon this topic.
I would have to agree with Representative McCall, just because President Trump's meetings and summits with the North Korean leader have proved that he's been doing an adequate job with resolving the situation and not leading it into something more heated, which could potentially damage our relationship with them or cause violence to occur.
That's true. Do we as a nation, do we even want to have relations with a country such as North Korea? Because in the past, they haven't been the friendliest towards us, and many Americans have been split on this belief of either being friends with the North Koreans or being opposed to them, and it really does separate the country in two.
Well, it's not the difference is that you can be close and have a relationship with somebody without being friendly, and I believe that's the problem, is that it's the gray area between being friends with the North Koreans and having a relationship, because we do need to make sure that they don't impact our world just because they have a different mindset than us. And that's why I believe Trump needs to be more detailed in the discussions he has with them, because currently they're just saying, like, let's do something about it. What are you going to do about it? How are you going to do it? Give me details.
So it seems that you're hinting at more of a business relationship rather
yes,
than a friendship.
That's what I would like.
Got it.
I agree, but I also think that it needs to go both ways with the clarity that the North Koreans have not always been very clear with us, and that we need to make sure that we're not showing all of our cards before we know what's on the table.
What is on the table?
Well, denuclearization, and we're trying to keep the world safe, really, and have two prosperous countries that can live together.
Solid answer. Moving on from North Korea, how do you all think foreign policy affects our country's taxpayers? Positively, negatively, a current event that just happened would be the trade war between China and Trump. Let's talk about this for a little bit.
Okay, so going on China, we feel that it's important to maintain a clear path on trade. We're not trying to make... So China's a big asset for the United States. We need to have them to have the world economy in a good place, but we also need to make sure that we're putting our country first. There isn't a point where we can truly say that this is where tariffs should begin and where tariffs should end, but we need to make sure that there is equality on both sides and that the United States is prosperous. There's a lot of things that we can do. I feel that President Trump is doing a good job at starting communications with the Chinese, President Zhao, and that he can therefore negotiate a deal with the Chinese to lower steel prices currently and to lower the price in the U.S.
You mentioned steel prices. I know for a fact that steel prices currently are extremely high, and as a result, construction giant Caterpillar, the company that makes many bulldozers and a lot of other equipment like that, has been under a lot of fire by its investors for a loss of profit margins. So currently, in my opinion, the situation of the high steel costs have been negatively affecting those working middle class families that work for this specific company, but that's just a specific example of how foreign affairs has been affecting our taxpayers and middle classes. Thank you for that answer. Okay, Senator Amendez, do you have anything to add about this China talk that we have going on right now?
The trade war is hurting America more than it is actually helping America. For example, our production rates are going down, and what we're doing is we're importing more than we're exporting.
I would have to disagree with that stance. Just due to the fact that China's competition strategy is plain unfair to the American businesses. Chinese corporations take advantage of America's open markets, and China keeps its markets closed, making it so that we can't have, our corporations can't have the same amount of business that they have with us, which creates closures, job losses in American industries, but Chinese industries continue to prosper. In order to cope with this, our only option is to impose sanctions and punish those for having an unfair competition strategy.
So, in other words, you're saying that China is exploiting America's small businesses?
Yes, that is correct.
Good answers, everyone. Let's talk about terrorism. What are some of your views on terrorism?
I believe that we should not get that much involved into it, because then it can lead to an impact and war between two countries.
So you would say that the troops that are already in, let's say, Syria, for example, you would be for bringing them back into the U.S.?
I wouldn't say necessarily that, but I would say let's finish our job over there and then we'll send them back.
All right. Do you have anything else to add?
I think kind of building on him but having different views is that we need to eliminate the problem at the source. So we need to bring more troops to the countries like Syria, Afghanistan, where these terrorists come up from. And from there, we can eliminate terrorism altogether.
I'd argue that the more important thing is to help the people that are suffering in those countries at the current moment, help the people dying in Syria, send more doctors.
So you have more of an ethical viewpoint?
Yeah.
Okay. Are all of you... Do all of you know what isolation is?
Yes.
Yeah, it's where you focus on providing just for your country's needs rather than helping those around you.
That's right, that's right. So would it be a good idea if the U.S. isolated itself from these other foreign issues, such as terrorism, because I know, Senator, you were talking about sending more troops into there, and isolation would be quite the opposite. What are your viewpoints on that?
Well, I think selectively deciding when we use isolation is the key. For problems like terrorism, we need to work with other countries that share our same viewpoints on whether or not terrorism should be, you know, a big thing in the world, which we don't think that should be. You know, we're trying to solve that problem. But on certain issues, we do need to be isolated. We need to be isolated to put Americans first and to eliminate the advantages that we give the other countries willingly.
Senator, do you have anything else to add?
I agree. We need to put America first, but we need to be isolated.
I think that since it's such a global world, that we need to be more connected to people and try and figure out our issues together.
All right. Those are all good answers. Thank you all for being here. That's all the time we had for our podcast. If you would like to hear more heated arguments and debates upon political dilemmas, tune in next week on Wednesday and Friday because we have a special guest. Hint, hint, he's the President of the United States. Thank you and goodbye.